This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. We are going to continue to bounce back and forth between the NCAA tournament on a national level and also here a local level. Missouri plays Drake coming up later today. Kansas also plays Arkansas later today. Those two teams tip off. Kansas tips off at 6:10 and Missouri tips off at 6:35. So you're going to have some dual TV action. The YouTube TV multi-view is going to be working for a lot of you tonight. Your tournament coverage is brought to you by 96.5 The Fan. It's also brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. Let's head to Providence, Rhode Island right now to be joined by friend of the show, Michael Swain, who covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Mike, happy to have you on the show today. Let's start with this. What advantages do you see Kansas having in their matchup against Arkansas?
I think generally there are some positive aspects of this matchup for KU. You know, you look at teams that KU, I think, has really struggled with. As of late, it's kind of the high-octane offenses, right, that shoot a lot of threes and that do a really good job of creating those looks. Arkansas is not that team. You know, they're very similarly profiled to KU in terms of the way they rely on the three-point line. I would say the difference with Arkansas is that they do such a fantastic job of getting the free-throw line, whereas KU doesn't do that. But both teams are really built around scoring inside the arc, and I think for KU, the types of games that I think the Jayhawks can have success in are these games where they can kind of go shot for shot, two-pointer for two-pointer, rather than having to try and make up for a barrage of threes the other team can have. So from that side of it, I think it is a good matchup. Now, I will say athletic guards is something that KU just has generally struggled with this year. I think you can look at a game like Arizona in the Big 12 tournament. You can look what UCF did with their athletic guards to KU. That, for me, is a big concern going into this game, because if all of a sudden you're looking at the under 12 timeout, and KU's kind of gone cold offensively, and all of a sudden Hunter Dickinson picks up a second foul because KU can't guard and keep the Arkansas perimeter players in front of them, that's a tough spot for KU to be in. So I think some aspects of this matchup are favorable for KU, and I think there are also some other parts that are going to give you some concerns, but I think that's going to be the case with any sort of 7-10, 8-9, you know, any sort of game like this where it's a good team you're playing. This isn't a 16 seed or a 15 seed where there's going to be such a huge talent advantage that it doesn't really matter what the other team does well. When you're in a game like this, the other team's going to have stuff they do well. I think for KU tonight, it's going to be about how do they guard on the perimeter. Can they do a good job on ball screen defense and really, really force Arkansas into some bad mid-range jump shots?
You're mentioning the perimeter. What really stands out to me is just the size matchup down low. You got Hunter Dickinson, who is a third-team All-American. You got Big Z for Arkansas, a talented seven-footer. I think that is what's going to define this matchup. If KU gets the Hunter Dickinson that has 22 and 11, I think they win this game. If Arkansas can figure out a way to neutralize Hunter Dickinson and KJ Adam with their own size, then I think that's a game that Arkansas can win. I think down low is where this game is going to be won or lost.
Yeah, and for KU especially, right, because of, I mean, Hunter's played at such a high level as of late, and KU really has played through him. The front court matchup here is really interesting because, you know, obviously Brazil for Arkansas is on a heater as of late, shooting the ball from three. But, you know, you think about KU and, you know, they play two bigs with KJ and Hunter, and the matchup that I think this game provides KU is a little bit more favorable in the front court. And I think, you know, with Hunter, KU's just got to do a good job of feeding him. And I think when you look at what Hunter has done, he has been getting more low post touches. It's not been the mid block to the elbow where he's getting the ball. He's getting it low and in really good starting positions. And so I think for KU, right, playing through Hunter is going to be the number one priority, because then you got to make Arkansas try and stop that. And when that happens, maybe they're having to send a Brazil or an Adu to double, right, if Arkansas is playing with the two bigs. And then Hunter can use his passing ability, and that's been something that I think as of late he's done a really good job of, is when teams are double-teaming him, he's been able to find his teammates. And those guys have, you know, if you're Zeke Mayo, right, he's been making shots from three, but other guys like KJ have done a great job of playing off of Hunter. So, look, games like this, you play through your best player. And Hunter Dickinson is by far KU's best player. And he needs to touch the ball much more often than not.
Right now we're talking to Michael Swain, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks, getting you ready for tonight's matchup between the Jayhawks and the Razorbacks. Michael, let's talk about this. What's the relationship like between these two coaches? This is the 14th time that these two guys have gone up against one another, and we've seen different iterations. We've seen these two go against each other in the national championship when John Calipari was in Memphis. They did the exact same thing when he was at Kentucky. Now we are at round three, where these two guys are at Kansas and Arkansas, respectively. How have you seen this relationship grow over the years?
Well, I think it's something where I think with age comes understanding. And I think early on, right, I think I'm not breaking any news here, that I think, you know, these two coaches had a good rivalry, right? You know, Kentucky and Kansas for a long time were two of the biggest schools on the recruiting trail and were fighting for similar kids. And I think the coaches took very different approaches to building rosters. But I think you see this really across the sport with some of the older coaches now, where I don't know if rivalry is the right word, but I think some of those relationships that maybe they previously had, you know, I think they soften a little bit as time goes on, as people are around more. And so I think just being around the two coaches, you can sense, right, they've got a tremendous amount of respect, but I think they also, you know, over time probably can enjoy the time around each other maybe a little bit more than they would have, you know, 10 years ago.
Is there a single player on Arkansas that you're worried about in this matchup? Is there a guy you think could go for 20? Is there a guy you think could be the difference maker and causes KU to be eliminated in round one?
Well, I think you looked at DJ Wagner and John L. Davis as two guys that, hey, if those guys all of a sudden go out there and they make four threes or five threes in a game, like, shoot, man, like that's just tough to live with. I think an underrated matchup in this game is going to be what Brazil does for Arkansas, because at the four spot, right, it means basically either Florey or Hunter is going to have to guard him for about 15 minutes of the game. And that is going to be such a fascinating period because of the pick-and-pop ability that Brazil has and what he has done of late shooting from three. If there's a guy that at the end of this game, if you're a KU fan and you're, like, you know, on your knees screaming at the sky, like, you know, rue this guy, it may be him, because he is the type of guy that all of a sudden you give him four or five opportunities, he's going to convert right now with the way he is shooting the basketball. He's going to convert on more than half, I'd be willing to bet. So I think he's the type of guy that KU's going to have to slow down the guards, but they can't have this type of performance where they are too focused on the guard play and all of a sudden you're leaving a guy open for a pick and pop for a wide open three. And I think that's been something that I think KU at times this year has allowed too much of, right, is some of those shots off ball screens. So I think really the guards are going to be hard to stop, but I think someone like Brazil could be an X factor in this game if KU's going to win it.
We know in order for KU to win, we know who the big three are and who needs to play well. You need Hunter Dickinson, KJ Adams, and DeJuan Harris to play well. Who is the X factor potentially in this matchup? Who do you think can swing things in the Jayhawks' favor?
Well, I think it's got to be Zeke Mayo, right? You look at what he, you know, for much of the season, he struggled shooting outside of Allen Fieldhouse, and then he goes to Kansas City and has a great weekend shooting the ball from deep. I think KU in this game, they're going to need someone that's going to have to get their own shot at times and create their own shot off the balance. And that was one of the most encouraging parts, I think, of what Zeke showed you in Kansas City was some of the step-back threes he made, some of the shots where it was just him against his guy going and making shots. I think that's the type of thing that KU is going to need in this type of game because of the style. And I think this could end. I think if KU wins out, they're going to try and slow this pace down a little bit because Arkansas wants to go fast. But you're going to need guys that can, at the end of the shot clock, go and get you a bucket. And I think Zeke is going to have to be one of those guys this game because you look at the other guys in the starting lineup, right? Ryland isn't that guy. KJ's not that guy. Hunter's not that guy. And DeJuan's not that guy. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on Zeke, I think, to be kind of that crucial factor offensively.
Mike, I think that KU's winning this game. I've seen KU in person 4 times this year. I've obviously watched them a lot on television. I've watched Arkansas a handful of times against Missouri in the SEC. I watched a lot of SEC basketball this year. I think that Kansas has a better coach than Arkansas. I think they have more talent than Arkansas. I think the injuries right now to the Razorbacks, I think that is going to be the difference. I like KU to win this game. This feels like an 81-72 Jayhawk win in my mind.
Yeah, I do have KU winning. I think that in terms of the style, right, if KU is able to get this thing to be a slower game like I think they would like, I think that bodes really well because of the way that Hunter's playing right now. And with Arkansas, they can just be erratic offensively. And I think this is the type of game where if KU can protect the paint like they've done for so much of this year, if all of a sudden, you know, Wagner and Davis and even if Boogie Flan is able to come out and play 15 minutes, if those guys are settling for two-point jumpers, or they're settling for threes, like, man, I think KU will live with that. So I think KU is going to have the game plan. Bill Self has been incredible in his career in the first game of a weekend. Now, granted, if you're Bill Self, right, a lot of the time you're a one seed or a two seed, so you're playing 16s and 15 seeds. But then you can look at a Sweet 16 record. The Sweet 16 record is very strong, and that gives me some encouragement that when KU gets time to prepare for an opponent that is equal, they're able to come out with a great game plan, and they tend to win. So that gives me some optimism, I think, for a game like this later tonight.
That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for 24/7 Sports covering the Jayhawk. Michael, I hope that tomorrow when we have this conversation, it is a positive one. And you know what? I hope the Jayhawks advance.
Yeah, well, hey, hopefully I'm not calling you from an airport. How about that?